Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul. Friends,
welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Proverbs chapter 16, verse 9. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 9. Now, Proverbs chapter 16, verse 9 deals with the Lord's direction. Listen to the verse. A man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. Listen to the verse again. A man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. So what it looks like from reading the verse is that in your heart, you try to figure out what you want to do. Like you want to be a chemical engineer, or a mechanical engineer, or a preacher, or a nurse, or a doctor, or a lawyer, or, you know, a mechanic, or somebody that works in the oil field, or you want, some other kind of a musician, something that you want to do. You devise in your heart a way, and then the Lord directs your steps. That's what it looks like when you read the verse, okay? And so what this has to do with, it has to do with something like the Lord's will or the Lord's plan for your life. And often we're asked about the Lord's will. People will say, well, I wonder what the Lord's will is for my life. I wonder what the Lord wants me to do, what the Lord would, who he'd want me to marry and those kind of things. And frankly, we need to make a distinction when discussing devising your way and the Lord directing your steps. We need to make a distinction between the Lord's will and the Lord's plan for your life. You see, because the Lord's will is something that's not really that tough to describe because it is so well documented in the Bible. It's not necessarily that it's easy to do, but it's just easy to find because you look up things that deal with God's will. For instance, One of the things about God's will that's very obvious and evident from the Bible is salvation. The Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's found in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. God is willing that all come to repentance. God is not willing that any should perish. And so that's the Lord's will. When people say to you, well, some people can get saved and others can't, that's not the Lord's will. He gave his life a ransom for all. He was given to the world, and every man has the opportunity, and every woman has the opportunity to receive him or to reject him. I mean, in the Bible, there are two whosoevers. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Whosoever. And the other whosoever is, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Okay? So that's the Lord's will, that all should come to repentance, that none should perish. The Lord's will is also self-sacrifice. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Verse 2 goes on to say, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. He wants you to be transformed, to sacrifice yourself as a living sacrifice to God, and then be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's his will, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And so that involves self-sacrifice. Your sanctification is his will. According to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3, he says, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification. This is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication. He wants you to live as a clean Christian. As a self-sacrificing Christian, he wants you to become a Christian. His will is thanksgiving. He says in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. That's his will, your thanksgiving, and so forth. You can find those things in the Bible. That's his will, and that will that he has is the same for you as it is for me, as it is for every other human being. But his plan for your life, that's another thing altogether. His plan is not necessarily what you would call his will. It's where he wants you to serve in the body of Christ. It's what he wants you to do. That's his plan. And the hard thing is to find that plan. And according to this text, there are some things in the text that would help us to find the plan of God for our lives. I mean, how did I know to become a preacher? You know, how did a friend of mine know to become a doctor? How does a woman know whether to work or to be a mother raising children at her home, or to do that for a period of time and then to let it go for a period of time? How does a man know when it's time to retire? How does a man or a woman know what career path to choose when there's training in college or when they're out in the world? A banker, a lawyer, a physician's assistant. I mean, how do you know what the plan is? And so the question is, you want to be able to find that plan. You want God to direct you, put you in the right direction. And so we look and glean from Proverbs chapter 16, verse 9, some things about that would help us find the plan. A man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. Well, the first thing to do in finding the plan of God for your life is to check your heart. You see what he says here in verse 9? A man's heart deviseth his way. So check your heart. That's why the preparation of the heart at a young age is so important. Earlier in Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 1, we find this verse. The preparations of the heart in man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. The preparations of the heart in man is from the Lord. At a very young age, you should be raised, your children should be raised in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. It's very important for young children to understand at a very early age, 4 or 5 years old, that God has a will, and that will is their salvation. And then by the time they're in the fourth to the sixth grade, they ought to know that God has a plan, that God wants them to do something that will bring him honor and glory, and they ought to begin at a very early age to seek what that is. And in order to do that, you've got to check your heart. Your heart has got to be prepared, and the Lord has been preparing your heart. Maybe you weren't raised in a Christian home. Maybe you weren't raised in a church. Maybe you weren't raised around the Bible, but now you're saved. And you say, well, boy, how would I know what God would want me to do? Check your heart. Because oftentimes God is preparing in your heart things that he wants you to do, and you already have desires and aspirations in that direction. You see, I did not surrender to the Lord to go into the full-time ministry and preach until I was 35 years old. But do you know what I did when I was 14 years old? When I was 14 years old, or 13 years old, however old I was, when I went into the ninth grade, I left the Catholic elementary school that I was going to, the eighth grade. I left that school. What would that be, junior high? Okay, I left there in the eighth grade, and in the ninth grade went to school in San Antonio at St. Anthony Seminary, to an oblate seminary, to go into the ministry as a priest. It's hard to imagine, isn't it? But imagine that by the time I was 14, I already had desires to do something for the Lord. Now, I wasn't saved then. I got saved later. But it isn't interesting that I was already leaning in that direction and then 21 years later actually surrendered to go into the ministry. Check your heart. Check your heart. The question I've always had, I guess I'll check with the Lord on it, but was the Lord already dealing with me at a very early age about that? Do you know when I was in college, probably along my sophomore or junior year of college, I was thinking seriously after college of going into Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary to study for the ministry? And along the way, I began to work in the banking business and had a desire to go that direction, so I went into the banking business and stayed there for, including the 2 years of college, 15 years, and made a career of it, and then left to go into the ministry. It's interesting that twice before, once at 14 and once again coming out of college, that I had serious desires about doing something in the ministry. Check your heart. Could be that the Lord is preparing your heart for those kinds of things, and then keep your heart. You know, he says here, a man's heart deviseth his way, then keep your heart, because you're going to have to live with the rest of your life the things you allow into your heart at a very early age. Don't you know that there are many women today who are now older who were promiscuous in their teenage years and may have even had a child as a result, or contracted a disease as a result, who would take back those years and dream about it, who would take back those years and never do what she did at that time, and now that she has her own children, is fighting like crazy before the throne of grace in prayer, trying every way she possibly can to keep her children out of the same thing that she did. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. So there's things in your heart. You know, you can sour that heart toward the things of God. And so if you're serious about finding God's plan for your life, then at a very early age, it is important that you begin to devise your way in your heart. Devise your way. In Nehemiah chapter 2, we're reading about something that God did to Nehemiah's heart. In Nehemiah chapter 2, you've got to go back. It's right after Chronicles. Then you've got Ezra, and then you've got Nehemiah. Chapter 2, verse 12. You see, Nehemiah got news about the condition of Jerusalem and the wall, and he was very upset about that. And then the king asked him one day what he wanted to do, and he prayed quickly, and he said, if it please the king, and if thy servant have found favor in thy sight, that thou wouldst send me to Judah, unto the city of my father's sepulchres, that I may build it. But he really wanted to do something about it. And verse 12 of Nehemiah chapter 2, the Bible says, I arose in the night, I and some few men with me, neither told I any man what my God had put in my heart to do at Jerusalem. Neither was there any beast with me save the beast that I rode upon. God had put something in his heart. And I'll tell you, if you check your heart, God will put something in there. I've got a friend of mine that wrote me a letter the other day, and he's always had a heart for souls. And when he was first in the ministry as a pastor, he was leading his congregation in a lot of soul winning, and then a series of events happened, and he lost his pastorate. We spent some time together in the ministry, and then he's gone and been with other pastors, and he's revised his plan, and now he's in full swing. He's in full swing, teaching churches how to be evangelistic and lead souls to the Lord Jesus Christ. You know something? That's always been in his heart. It's been in his heart for the last 20 years at least. And now the Lord has taken what was in his heart, the way that he had devised, and the Lord has brought that thing, directed his steps to bring it into full fruition so that he can carry that on as a full-time ministry. That thing's been in his heart for 20 years. Check your heart. Undoubtedly, God has planted things in your heart for you to be able to devise your way within your heart about how the Lord would have you to go. So very, very important. Keep that heart with all diligence. Recognize that the Lord prepares that heart, and be sure that you don't allow things to enter into that heart that are going to corrupt the direction God would have you to go. Okay? Keep it clean. Keep it open to the and receptive to the leading of the Lord, and also to the heart's desires, you see. All right, the second thing about finding the plan of the Lord in your life is to devise your way. In other words, check your heart first, but then devise your way. According to your heart, start going. A man's heart deviseth his way. His way. Now, when you think of the word way, like Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. When you think about the way home, or the way to the grocery store, or the way to the bank, or the way to Houston, you know what you think of? You think of movement. You think of going. Way, when you use the word way, you're not thinking in terms of a stationary thing. You don't think about a way when you talk about sitting on the couch and watching a football game, for instance. There's no way to that. So way, when you think of the word, conjures up movement, conjures up motion, conjures up activity, conjures up going. So when it says a man's heart deviseth his way, it's like the way he's going to go. What does that imply? God doesn't guide a sitting duck. If you think you can lie down and just say, okay, I'm not going to move till God shows me where he wants me to go, you're never going to go anywhere except where you are, lying down right there. You got to be moving, doing something for God, even if you're not absolutely sure that what you're doing is ultimately what he wants you to do. Just get going. Don't be a lazy, idle Christian. Pick up and do something. You know, one of the problems in Christianity is that we have people that make it to church, but then they don't do anything with their lives. What's been fun in a growing church of young Christians is that people are becoming Sunday school teachers. They're going. They're devising a way. They're becoming soul winners. They're becoming preachers. They're becoming servants of the Lord. They're becoming workers in the church. You know what they're doing? They're devising a way. And what's happened? Well, God's putting something in their hearts. But you got to get going. You can't go to the pew and sit there and say, I'm not going to move a muscle until God shows me what he wants me to do. You'll be there till you're too old to go. You got to get going. I remember when I finally did decide to go into the ministry at the age of 35, I went by to see my father. And you may have heard me tell the story before. I won't belabor it, but I went by to see my father, and I mentioned to him that I was going to leave and go off to train for the ministry. And he said, if you have something in your heart that you believe you need to do, then you need to go ahead and do it, because there comes a time in your life where you're going to be too old, and then you won't be able to do it. You see? Motion. Once it's in your heart, you got to get going. You got to put some footsteps with your prayers. Get going on something that's right. Now, take Paul, for instance. Paul was on the road to Damascus. And when he was on the road to Damascus, he was fighting God. He didn't know it. He thought he was serving God. He was killing off Christians because he was sure that that way was the wrong way. He believed that what Christians were doing and professing and getting saved and Jews, you know, leaving the synagogue and stuff like that, he thought what they were doing was wrong. And so he was killing them, or at least having them killed and causing them to blaspheme and to renounce that way. And so he was on the way to Damascus thinking that he was doing something for God when God met him and changed his direction. Now, I'm not telling you that you need to go out and kill a bunch of Christians so you can find out God's plan for your life. You understand that. What I'm saying is that Paul, even though he was wrong, was on the way to doing what he thought was right. And on that way, God showed him the error of his way and straightened him out. And I'll tell you, just as sure-footedly as Paul was walking that direction to kill those Christians, he turned right around and walked that direction to lead them to Jesus Christ. So devise your way. Now, in Philippians chapter 3, we read something that's going to be a safeguard to you and a safeguard to me about going that way. Let's say that you've checked your heart and you really believe God would have you do whatever. I mean, fill in the blank, okay? And then you devise your way. You get going. Let's say that you believe God wants you to be a doctor, okay? So you graduate from high school. You go into college in a pre-med program. And you study pre-med and you're not hearing God change your plan at all. You graduate from college and now you go into medical school. You've made good enough grades. You've gotten good enough recommendations. You've done well on the MCAT, so you go into medical school, and you're still open to God showing you a plan that's different than what you do. So you get your medical training, and boom, you got it. Now you go into your residency, and now you become a doctor, and then you start your practice. And then one day, you see, one day, you have devised your way. One day, God intercepts and interrupts your plans and moves you to become a medical missionary. Well, if you had not gone to college to train pre-med, had not gone to medical school, had not done your residency, and not become a doctor, you could never have become a medical missionary. But as it is, because you had devised your way according to what was in your heart, you made all the right steps in preparation for what God ultimately wanted you to do. And so you didn't have to know the full picture down the road. God simply devised your way. Now, let's say that you say, I want to be a doctor. So you devise your way. You go into school and you start training pre-med, and all of a sudden your way changes. You say, I need to be a preacher. Well, you continue taking your courses. You graduate. You go to seminary. You get your training as a pastor, as a missionary, as whatever, and then you go into the ministry. God changes the play, but you are on your way according to what was in your heart. Now, in Philippians chapter 3, verse 14 and 15, we see the safeguard that we have when we're on the way according to what we find that God has put in our heart. Paul says in Philippians 3:14, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So he's pressing on, pressing toward. So he's pressing on. Look at verse 15. Let us, therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. You see it? The safeguard is that if you are otherwise minded, God will reveal it to you and straighten it out. As long as you are moving, God deals with moving targets. All right, so how do you find the plan? First, check your heart. Second, devise your way. Third, according to the text, the Lord will direct your steps. A man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. Now these steps that the Lord will direct, the Lord directeth his steps, are directed through several things the Lord does. These will lead you to what the Lord wants you to be doing all along the way. This direction will come, first of all, from the Holy Spirit. Okay, Galatians 5:25, walk in the Spirit. Romans 8:14, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So first of all, when you're saved, you have the Holy Spirit of God in you. And here he says he promises to direct your steps. You've got the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will lead you. He will lead you. You will sense his direction and leading in your daily life and ultimately in your full life on this earth. He will lead you as long as you are sensitive to the leadership of the Holy Spirit. The Lord will also use the Word of God to lead you. Psalm 119:105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Peter tells us in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19, that we are to take heed unto the Word of God as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. So the Word of God will guide you as you read. It's an amazing thing, but I remember when I went off to school to train for the ministry, men would say, yes, I was reading my Bible one day, and I was doing whatever work they were doing, and God spoke to me out of the words of God and showed me what I needed to be doing. I've heard that over and over again. I remember talking to a fella, and he was a saved man. He wasn't the kind of fella that you would look to say that, you know, he's some sort of like spiritual giant. He was just a common, everyday citizen. And he was a rancher and landowner, and he needed to make good decisions because that's a pretty hard business. And he told me several times that he would oftentimes try to be making a decision for his business and not know what way to go. He would come home for lunch, get his Bible, after lunch, sit down, open the Bible, and begin to read. And he said, invariably, within 3 to 5 pages, I would know what I needed to do. I could see it. It says like the Lord was talking to me right out of the book, the Word of God. Now, you don't have to wake up in the morning, read the Bible, and wait for God to give you directions for that day every single day, because you've already devised your way in the second part of this thing. You're on the move. But as you're moving, God will show you things in the Bible that he wants you to do, the Word of God. The next thing is that God will direct you through wise counsel. And some of the wisest counsel you'll ever get is in a pew. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12, God gave the body of Christ pastors and teachers, evangelists, earlier prophets and apostles, to edify the body of Christ for the work of the ministry. And God will use preaching in the pulpit to speak to you about things that he wants you to do. So in other words, if you're faithful to your church, faithful to your pastor, faithful to the words of God, then you'll hear things. Now, if you're in a dead church and the Holy Spirit's not ministering the words of God to you through the preaching, then you're probably not going to get much out of that. I mean, I know people that are saved that like to stay in a dead church because they love the people that are there, or they like the building, or they like the program. Well, don't look for much, unfortunately, to come off the pulpit, because the Spirit of God's not working there much. And I'm just telling you the way it is. I hate to even sound critical about that, because some guys are just doing the best they can. Some guys, they're just willfully disobedient to the Lord. Well, personally, if it were me and I was not getting fed from the pulpit, I don't care how pretty the building is and I don't care how many friends I have there, I'd go somewhere else where God could talk to me. I wouldn't waste my time, you see. But that's me. I wouldn't waste my time with all that dead stuff. I'd get in there where it got lively, and I'd listen to a preacher who was talking for God and try to get something that would help me with my family and with the direction God would have me to go, and somebody to try to edify me and strengthen me to please God. So the pulpit is a good place. Now, I'll say this in seeking the Lord's plan for your life. Don't be in a hurry. Take your time. Be patient. God's not in a rush, and you don't need to be either. I've had some friends of mine that rushed, trying to find out God's plan, and they've been rushing around for the last 20 years, and they ain't found it yet, and they're never going to. They're so busy outrunning God, they'll never slow down enough to follow God. You've got to slow down enough so that God can direct you. And if you take your time and be meticulous in making one step after another, if you get off track, it won't be any distance for you to get right back on track. But if you're running full steam ahead, it'll be a long time before you realize you've taken the wrong road, and it'll be a long way back before you get on the right road. So just take your time about it. Be patient. The Lord's patient with you. Be patient with Him. And know this, that even today, if you're hearing this message and you realize that you're backslidden and you've been out of His will for a long time, you know something? The Lord will guide you even if you're out of His will. He really will. Now, I don't mean for you to get out of His will, knowing that He'll always bring you back. But if you find yourself out of His will now and you're wondering how in the world God could ever get you back on track, He can do it. In Acts chapter 23, Paul had disobeyed the Holy Spirit of God. He'd been warned 5 times not to go to Jerusalem. He went anyway. And while he was down there, he got thrown in jail. And you know, the Lord stood by him one night and said, "Be of good cheer, Paul. For as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also at Rome." Paul had wanted to go to Rome. And the Lord said, "You're going to get to go there. Don't worry about it. Be of good cheer. You'll get there." He had to take a little detour, but he got there. And Paul didn't waste his time while he was in prison. He wrote these prison epistles that you get to read in your Bible today. So even when you're out of God's will, God can get you back on track. I'll guarantee you, I found myself out of God's will. And in September of 1986, God got me back on track. And today, I'm where I am today because the Lord caught up with me and redirected me and put me where He wanted me to be. And I thank God for that. He's very, very faithful to these words. So remember this, a man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. So check your heart. Follow it as the Lord has prepared your heart. Keep it clean. Then devise your way, get going, and as you're going, be sensitive to the leadership of the Lord, and then the Lord will direct His steps through the Holy Spirit, through the words of God, through wise counsel, predominantly as you hear the preaching of the Word of God, and of course, wise counsel. We've talked about that recently in another passage. Wise counsel from men or women that are older than you are, that are already known for good wisdom and good direction from the Lord. They'll help you as you get going along the way. God will use them to help guide you along the way. And remember, if you find yourself in a backslidden condition today, don't worry. Get on your knees now. Tell the Lord you're sorry that you got off track. Tell Him to pick up the reins and get you back on track so you can do something for Him that'll count before you leave this earth. And may God help you.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.